Welcome to AMG Academy. Get ready to dive into a vibrant community where insurance professionals come together to discuss the latest in sales techniques, innovative business strategies, and the power of collaboration. Whether you're looking out for the next big trend in sales or seeking insights into strategic business growth, this is your hub. This is AMG Academy.
Hello and welcome to another edition of AMG Academy. Matt McClure here with you. Thank you so much for being a part of things this time around. And we talk all things insurance, this wonderful industry that we find ourselves in, and challenging industry at times, because the more things change, the more things change, it seems like. And so that's going to be a big topic of discussion for today. And as part of that discussion, I'm welcoming in Sean Niebuhr, a marketer with AmeriLife. Sean, how's it going, sir?
Pleasure. Thank you for inviting me this morning. I've been trying to make it and finally here. Pleasure.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you very much. I know that, you know, scheduling, especially around different things and as things are changing, can be difficult. But yeah, so just as we start off here, since this is your first time on the show, just tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your background and kind of what your experience is at AmeriLife.
Sure. So, I mean, this October, I'll be here at AMG 16 years. Love helping the agents, love building the relationships, growing it with the rapport and all the different, you know, avenues that we have with this ever-changing Medicare space right now. I've never seen it change this quickly, so rapidly, just where we've always seen the unknown and, you know, we always pivot. This is just seems like it's a much wider pivot this time, but we're ready for it. You know, we're open. We're ready for it. We know which way to suggest opportunities for the agents. Myself, I've been doing it for 16 years with AMG. I came from running health clubs. That's where I did it. I was a general manager for health clubs all over the state of Florida right out of college. And Steve Esch got me over here, and I've been here ever since. And I love it, man. I mean, there's good and bad things with every career, but it's an outstanding opportunity for marketers and producers.
Yeah, it really, really is. I mean, it's a great space to be in. And as you say, there are always challenges because of the changes that come our way. And what are some of the biggest changes, I guess, that are giving people whiplash right about now?
There's quite a few. I'm going to say we'll start with just the PDP, because it's connected to the Medicare supplement, obviously. The PDP, right before open enrollment, they kind of were messing with it. The commissions, they were taking it away from some carriers, then they kind of brought back half commission. But marketers, we knew it was coming. So we've kind of let the agents know ahead of time that commissions for PDPs is going to be going bye-bye. And if one does it, they typically all follow. So prescription drugs, non-commissionable PDPs, I'd say that's been a big thing. Then you got the Med Sup with the birthday rule, guaranteed issue. That's changing and evolving fast, very fast. So, you know, the Medicare supplement market is changing quickly. A lot of carriers are not getting into the Medicare supplement market is what we're noticing. And to me, if a company that's been around like Mutual of Omaha isn't getting into it, that's a sign. Start marketing and selling as a producer what the carriers are offering, what they're adding, what they see value in, because they see everything. So I would say the ancillary game is very strong right now, very lucrative. I see that's changing. People are definitely taking that advantage. And then I also see the life and annuities opportunity from any of these Medicare brokers that are stressing, worried about Medicare Advantage, maybe. You know, I mean, one stroke of the pen and who knows? We just don't know. So I just present carriers and opportunities and say, listen, as a producer, you need to be able to offer as much as you can in the insurance space that you can handle as an individual. If you can do that, you'll thrive. Referrals, residuals, your book of business will grow. You can lose people from death and you're not falling behind. You're still growing.
And you're retaining, and I'm just going to say you're retaining those clients as well, because if you become kind of like one-stop shop, right? I mean, it really is a big retention tool, I feel like, also.
100%. And with the MedSup changing, even letting people know, hey, maybe if you're seeing a Medicare supplement and it's $200 for a 65, I'm just going off whatever, you know, any state, say it's $200 for a Plan G, but then there's a high deductible Plan G at $75. Attach a couple policies, maybe a cancer plan, maybe an HI. I mean, whatever that producer is focused on, but ancillary products and attaching policies to the house to give that client, to fill them and give them the full coverage that they're lacking in whatever products they're currently in. That's definitely where it's at right now. And then you'd have different streams of residual income. So if you're losing people for Med Sup, you're gaining them over here because you're getting an HI residual stream. You're gaining them over here because you've got a dental vision stream. And life and annuities, you're getting your bigger pops, you're getting your referrals. You know, it just, as much as the agent can handle, everybody's different. Not everybody can handle everything, you know, to each their own, but the more you can handle, the more opportunity.
Right. I mean, it's a lot of it's about knowing your strengths too. And like, you know, what areas you can handle, and if you can handle them all the better, because, you know, that's the way you can, as you say, grow your business here. And, you know, you were talking about sort of like filling the needs, whatever holes there might be in the client's coverage. And along those lines, you know, what are maybe some things that have been changing about, you know, client expectations and what they are expecting going in terms of, like, you know, service from the agent and plan options as well? I mean, are people getting more discerning as time goes on here?
I think people are always going to want everything for free and for nothing. I don't think that's ever going to change. That's up to the agent to pivot and figure it out, right? Everybody's got to figure that part out, because clients are buyers or liars, right? That's never going to change, okay? You're not going to be able to help everybody, right? That's another thing people got to understand. You can't help everybody. You can't. Sometimes you just need to move on, right? What I do is I send a lot of my brokers, it's a form, it's a needs analysis form. And it's basically just probing questions that maybe they might skip at point of sale when they're writing whatever product they're writing. You should be fact-finding while the client's doing the application. You should always be fact-finding and trying to find more opportunities, more needs. You're just trying to fill buckets, like we're saying. You're in the house, right? You've got their time, you've got their... They're listening to you, so you need to listen to them. Take the best notes. Don't talk. Just shut up and listen. If you shut up and listen, they're going to tell you everything. They're going to tell you everything, right? And then you can close on what they can afford, and just go from there. And then follow up with them, you know. But always try to get your referrals. I think that's my number one thing. Like, when I ran health clubs, I had a stack of referrals. So, like, on the 15th of the month or the end of the month, I would call, invite the client in to, hey, bring a family. You know, you're trying to get them to bring somebody in for you. And agents need to be doing the same thing with referrals. There's a lot of agents I talk to that don't even ask for referrals. And I'm like, hold up. That's rule number one. Like, you should be getting referrals. They have their phone right there. Pull out the phone. You should get 5 to 10 names and numbers, emails right there at point of sale. That's what good producers do. You get the client's got their phone right there. Yep. I mean, you can't tell me you don't have 5 people that I can help with insurance. Yeah, at least put them on there. Let me at least give them a ring. Let them know I've helped you, and they can, here's my name and number. If it's not valuable time right now, they can reach back out to me when they need help. It's the little stuff.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and those are the things I feel like that can make a huge difference. And consistency too, I feel like, with that, you know, not just kind of having your system in place and making sure that you are doing that with consistency, because, you know, if you don't, if you miss out on doing it a couple of times, you know, habits are hard to establish, but really easy to break. Right. So it's like, if you stop doing it, the easier it is to just kind of forget about it and leave it by the wayside. But if you're just consistent about it and keep it as a habit, I feel like you're in a good spot.
100%. Then you don't ever miss it.
Yeah.
You don't miss it. You don't miss one time. You don't miss asking for referrals because you've been repetitively doing it in your day-to-day business. Yeah. It's like anything, you know, exactly. Like going to the gym one morning, and then next thing you know, it's a week, and it's like, good God, you know, and then I'm just kicking myself. Like, it's been a week already.
This is ridiculous. It's the same thing. But yeah, so agents are definitely shifting. I mean, they're all asking. Nobody's not asking what's going on more than ever. Okay. And obviously we've been through changes in Medicare in the last 16 years. It's every year or something, you know. I mean, like the 48-hour rule with the scope, you know, how they went back to that. I mean, a lot of the stuff they take away and then they go back to it. Now they'll probably take it away again, you know, with new administrations or whatnot. But it just finding the opportunities and letting the brokers know where they're at, right? Not every broker is going to take the same opportunity, you know, but just putting the opportunities in front of them and they're going to see the value. They're going to pick what opportunity they want to choose. Just like the client's going to pick whatever carrier they see the most value in.
Yeah.
Or plan, you know, just different policies, different plans. Who's got the best value carrier-wise? That carrier's A rated, this carrier's B plus.
Right.
You know, everybody looks at those things differently.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And it's all how things come out in the balance for you. And, you know, you just mentioned the brokerage side there. And from that side, you know, how are brokers really adjusting their business models and kind of as things change as well?
Well, alignment, I would say, for sure. Agencies are aligning more with marketing organizations and marketers because of the values. Obviously, every marketing organization offers something different, just like every marketer offers something different. Like, you know, I come from a sales background. I'm not saying I know everything, but I come from a sales background, so I can at least lead you in the right direction as a producer. I'm not going to tell you something if I'm not 100% sure. I'm never going to tell you, hey, this is it, because, man, I know how that works. That's not good if it backfires on you. So, you know, if you don't know the answer, you just get them a timely, you try to get them the correct answer in a timely manner as quick as you can so that they can move forward with whatever they're doing. They got to see the value in you. If they don't see the value, if they don't have value in you, it's not just friend, right? That can only hold so much. They got to know, hey, is Sean going to be here when I need to call? Is Sean going to give me some ideas on how to pivot from what I've been doing with Medicare supplements? Whatever it is, just having that rapport and then having your value on how you can help them get into something that they're not as familiar with and seeing the opportunity and going.
Yeah. Being knowledgeable of all the changes, knowing, you know, the resources, having that communication line, like all super important. Any like sort of maybe creative or non-traditional strategies that people are using or that that, you know, FMOs are using right now to kind of, you know, keep agents and marketers as well, you know, in the loop on everything that's happening?
Man, that's a hard question because it's just so much going. I don't know. I just feel like there's more going on now than ever. It just seems like a lot of stuff's going on. It's very hard to keep up with it. You really just, you're doing your best, you know. They can't keep up with it, so it's hard for us. That's a tough question. I can't really give you an answer on that one. It's tough. I mean, we get the stuff from the higher ups. We get stuff from our principals. The truth is, though, we hear stuff. But the agents hear stuff too. And it's a combination of all the info, how we all get to move forward. You know, we take it and then divvy it out. It's tough. It's definitely, I would say that's probably the toughest thing now than ever.
Yeah. This is like trying to keep up, right?
It's trying to keep up, and the carrier may not tell you till the last second about something big like commission, you know, a carrier pulling out of MedSup. You know, I mean, they were here a week ago, and then they come back the next week and they're pulling out. Just that's how quick it happens. It really happens that quickly.
Wow.
I would say right now it's just making sure people are not just sitting still. Because there's a lot of brokers that just sit still and they only write during open enrollment. Those brokers to me are a dying breed now. Because I don't think those men or women are going to survive. If you're not selling insurance all year round, I really just don't see how you can do it now because you don't know enough. You don't. Things change so much. Okay. If you're only selling, you know, only for open enrollment, you're not a full-time producer. You're just moving and rolling that business that you have, you know, maybe 100 clients, you know, whatever it is. Those aren't the people specifically. That's not
the client that I'm actually recruiting and looking for. I'm actually looking for somebody that's actually writing all year round. You know, they're willing to write other products that they're not used to, right? They're trying to find new opportunities because that's the insurance industry. It's always new opportunities.
Yeah.
And then just trying to give them the tools, right? You know, we've got Sunfire. You know, there's endless amount of tools as well. The tools are endless. That's another thing.
Yeah, right.
Ultimately, the producers got to hit the ground. They got to actually do some stuff. They can't just sit there and expect leads to come in, right? You got to go get it. You got to be hungry.
Yeah.
You got to go talk to people. You got to go network. You got to go shake hands and kiss babies. You got to do that stuff to build that network, right? So somebody, you're going to drop some business cards off. Oh, calling Sean back. Boom, Met's up. Or whatever it is, you know? Always putting your stuff out, doing B&Is. I mean, an agent that's new to the business, they better be doing as much as they can for free before they spend a dollar to get revenue. They should be doing anything they can without spending any money except for like business cards at the start. You don't know how many people that I talk to that are like, they just got recruited by somebody like Family First or somebody, and they literally spent like $3,000 on leads right out the gate. I'm like, whoa, really? Why didn't you like just try to find, you know, somebody that's like a PNC shop that doesn't do Medicare, try to send them some PNC clients, they send you some Medicare clients. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy to me though. Like the person spent $3,000 and now they're stuck under that person because they have to make that back or they're not going to feel, it's just crazy. But that's what a lot of companies do. And then I feel like these agents get stuck too. You know, like, oh, I just spent $5,000. That's a lot, man, for a new broker. A lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. Especially if you're just starting out, like you said, I mean, that's a big hit right in the beginning. And then, you know, you could be just stuck in a tough place. Cause you got to make that back and then some, to then be able to do more. Yeah. It's just like, I feel that same way about, you know, just doing as much free stuff as you can in the beginning to try and just build that momentum. And then once you've got some clients under your belt, once you've got that business going, then you can ramp it up. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's crazy. Cause I mean, $3,000 to a street agent that's starting, that's a lot of money. You and I both know that's a lot. Like, I mean, I couldn't believe that when that lady told me that. I was like, oh my gosh, this lady's stuck. She's not going to move.
Yeah.
Like I knew right away she wasn't going to move.
Yeah.
Because she feels tied to that company that made her spend the $3,000. She's like, I got to get that back.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and the good thing though, is that for people who are, you know, working with AmeriLife, say if they're a producer working with AmeriLife, you know, you don't have to do that. Like you don't have to navigate all of this alone either. Like you've got people like yourself, you've got a whole marketing team, you've got an entire organization of resources behind you. You know, you mentioned like Sunfire and all those, the different resources that are out there as well to just really be of support. And you can call somebody up, like, you know, you can just call you up, say, hey, Sean, I've got this issue. I've got this question. And you're going to be there for the producer on, you know, okay, here's how you navigate that. Here's what that means. Here's, oh yeah, that's changed this year. You know, like we're talking about, there's so much stuff for people to keep up with and they don't have to go it alone. I feel like that's a huge, huge thing for people to remember.
100%. I mean, I had a new broker a couple months ago come over from one of our competitors. She was under a group and, just some of the questions the lady was asking me, I'm like, right off the gate, I'm like, wait, how long have you been selling? She didn't even know this. And I'm like, it was weird to me. It's weird because, you know, like Mark Graham would always tell us, you know what you know, you don't know what you don't know. It's legit. It's real legit. It's true. It's very, very true, even in your day-to-day life. But yeah, I mean, so I taught that lady, that broker, a couple things, and she didn't even know she could sell this stuff all year round. And I was just like, wow, that's incredible. Yes, you can sell all year round. You don't just sell during open enrollment. I know that's what a lot of people think, but that's not correct. Already that girl's, she's already written some applications. So it's a good thing. But yeah, I mean, it's alignment. You got to, not every agent aligns with the same marker. I mean, there's been plenty of times where I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm talking to this broker. And I'm like, you know what? This is just not, because of whatever reason, it's just not, we're not aligning. To where I was like, you know what? I actually feel like I have a better broker for you. And I'll give the agent to another marketer and let them try. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I could just tell that I wasn't the right fit for that broker. That does happen. I mean, it's just like a client. Sometimes I was telling one of my brokers the other day, he's got a client that's driving him nuts about everything. It's like the guy can't do anything. It's like, you need to call. It's your prescriptions. You got to call, buddy. He can't call for you. And I told him, I'm like, listen, I go, Ken, I'm like, yeah, sometimes you gotta fire a client. Sometimes you gotta let a client go. It's just what it is. But you know, you try to help them out as much as you can, and that's all you can do. I mean, we're here to help people. Yeah. It's that simple. Yeah, we're just trying to help people, and everybody wants to make an honest living in the same time.
Yeah, no, it's very true. It's like, and then at the same time, as you're saying, that the juice has to be worth the squeeze in different cases. It's like if you have a situation like that, or you're just talking about where somebody just can't do anything, then, you know, that's maybe a situation where you gotta make a change. But, you know, I mean, you're right. People are in the business to help people and to make a living. And, you know, I mean, you were talking about this kind of a second ago, not just selling part of the year, you know, like just making sure that you know that, yeah, you can be in the business year round. You can actually be riding business year round. And, you know, I mean, the cross-selling piece that you alluded to as well, kind of in the beginning of this, I feel like is super important as well, just from a client retention standpoint. You know, I mean, if somebody sees you, I feel like as an agent, as a producer, somebody who is able to navigate all of these changes, as somebody who has all these resources behind them, then, you know, they're going to trust you when you say, oh, you know, I can also sell. So, you know, I've also got access to hospital indemnity. I think you might need this. I've also got access to this, that, or the other. I think it's just a great way to then stay in that person's mind. And then also make referrals and kind of organic referrals more probable, because then that person's going to be like, they're just talking to their friend, right? And they're just like, oh yeah, I have really been thinking about doing X, Y, Z. Oh, I know a guy or I know a gal who can do that. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think I try to teach these. Usually it's not the older brokers. You can't really teach them. They're either going to do it or they're not. It's kind of thing. But the newer brokers that come to me, I always say, make a referral form. Like I was telling you, I had stacks from the health club. Okay. And they had 10 spots on there for your name, email, your name, phone number, email, address, whatever you need, the details, the info you want on there. If you just do that, like brokers who use it, you're getting referrals. Like it's just the easiest thing. It's just like another form. You just put it right in the forms that you got them filling out, right? So, I mean, it's the most simple thing. And the brokers that do it get referrals. It's easy. It's yeah. So easy. I helped one of my agencies make a form for his downline. So 2 seconds. So he's like, man, I should have been doing this. That's how easy it is, you know, but they don't do it.
Yeah.
They well, don't.
And sometimes it's those easy things like that, right, that can make a huge difference. I mean, and that's one example of it.
I mean, think about that for downlines, for his an agency that's agents aren't even doing that. Like none of them are doing that. It's crazy to me. That would be a requirement. If I was an agency principal, it would be a requirement to get 3 to 5 referrals every appointment. There's no reason you can't. There's absolutely no reason, unless they don't have a cell phone. If they don't have a cell phone, that's okay. I understand that. But when they have a cell phone, I mean, literally, you and I both know you can just open that phone and there's 1,000 numbers in there.
Right.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, some people are hungrier than others too. Like, how can you be in sales and be afraid? That's something that doesn't really happen as much now, but it used to happen where new brokers would be afraid to ask for money. You go, oh, wait, you're selling insurance? You're selling anything and you're afraid to get asked for money? That's you got to get better at that. You're selling insurance if you're afraid to get money. Because back now we're going to go to Medicare Advantage, how that's changing. So last year was the year I thought we were going to see some premiums.
in those in the very popular HMOs, PPOs. I thought we were going to have some good premiums. Yeah, there's a couple of plans do have premiums. I'm telling you, I think this is the year, man. I think this is the year that they have the good plans have a solid premium. I don't know if I'm right. I thought it was last year, but now it's it seems like it's trending that way now. So we'll find out, but and it's not going to be a bad thing. I don't think it's going to be a bad thing at all. It's just because people are used to the donut, you know, them being nothing.
Yeah. You know, that's true. And that's the thing is like, no matter what the change is, like you're just talking about there, it can create an opportunity. I feel like that if you sort of frame your mind around it that way, like no matter what the change is, yeah, it can be frustrating to, especially if there's so much at once, to make the adjustments and to get the knowledge, get educated on it. But at the same time, it creates new opportunities potentially for you. And so you just got to find out what those opportunities are.
Yeah, so I'll give you another example of somebody. So one of my top Medicare brokers, she's up in like the Poconos, Pennsylvania. Writes a lot of Med Supps, a lot of Medicare Advantage, a lot of hospital indemnity. I got her signed on the hospital indemnity too. Last year in like November, December, she's like, Sean, I got 30K cash. What do you think I should do with it? And I was like, listen, I got Cheryl. I go, personally, what I would do with that, I would get my annuities license and I would sell like a 3 or 5 year MIGA. Okay. So we go back to the beginning of this year. Beginning of this year. She ended up writing 7 cases and ended up writing like 1.5 in annuities. 1.5 in annuities as a Medicare broker. Wow. So now I've actually, because of that, you know, I'm telling the story that's true, right? I've got a story to tell, true. And now I've got some other brokers that never even looked at that opportunity. And these are all top, these like each one of them is a top Medicare broker that just is just frustrated. Like, and I don't want to lose them. I don't want them to just quit and then not like just go off and sail off and just live on the residuals. I've got a few of them pivoting to life and annuities now, which is awesome. So, because they're good brokers and they have a lot of Medicare supplement clients. So I see value in that. The ones that can handle it.
Right.
The ones that can handle it are jumping on that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I like our synergies that we have with True Choice. It's awesome. They got all the tools. Dylan's a stud. He's phenomenal. It's very good partnership for the marketer, the marketing organization, the producer, and the affiliate. It's a win-win.
Yeah, bunch of great folks there and great additions to the organization, obviously. And I wholeheartedly agree there. You know, you've been talking a lot here about what is working for these, you know, individual agents, for brokers and all that. If there's one thing that you see that happens on a regular basis that agents or brokers should stop doing that's not working, but they still do for whatever reason, what might that thing be?
Paper applications. Paper apps. I get it, because I'd probably be the same guy doing it myself, because I'm old school. I'm an old school 44-year-old, very old school. So I would be that guy too, but I also know from this side that you get paid way quicker. You never have issues. You don't really have issues like paper, because it just... something's missing, it stays there for 3 weeks. Yeah, anything electronic now, I mean, obviously that's where the industry's at, right? Since 2020, that's really where it's at now. And anybody that's not doing that now, they're barely hanging on. Because at some point that could just be gone. I think papers, they're always gonna have that option. It's just not gonna be the best option, right? You're not gonna get paid, things are gonna be missing because these companies need us because they can't handle it, right? Yeah. The carriers can't handle it. That's why we have jobs. That's why we have careers, to help the agent and the carrier. But other than that, I mean, that's the main thing, is that right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's a, you know, come into the 21st century and with the rest of us, you know, but yeah.
You're going to get, you just got to keep reiterating. You will get paid faster. You will have no hiccups. Other than, you know, the normal hiccups. I mean, there's always going to be something, but
yeah.
But I don't want to tell them, yeah, there's going to be, you know, you don't finish the app, it's not going to, something's wrong. It's not going to let you finish it.
Right. And then you're going to know much more quickly than you would have otherwise if you were doing a paper app. Yeah.
Flag it. It's right. Going to flag it. Yeah. If you sent paper, they don't even have any idea for a month.
Right.
But, you know, there's not as many guys or gals doing the paper anymore, but they're still out there. There are still a few, but just transitioning them over. The ones that are transitioning are doing fantastic. You know, it's just like anything. You do it a couple times, you get familiar with it, you're repetitive, you're good. You can forget about the paper.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Well, just about time for us to start wrapping up here, Sean, but anything else that you wanted to touch on or maybe some final thoughts for, you know, some agents looking to sort of, you know, make their Medicare business actually last?
Yeah, I would just say offer as much as you personally can handle. Ancillary products. If you're already doing the MedSup, Medicare Advantage, make sure you're doing the hospital indemnity, the cancer plans. Look at all the ancillary plans. I mean, and then you get the life insurance, whether it's term, whole life, children's policies, just offer your book of business as much as you can handle.
Yeah.
And you'll thrive. I believe that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If not, you're going to be stagnant.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You become that one-stop shop for people. And I feel like, as we said, you know, it'll be a snowball in a good way. You know, you can build that book of business, I feel like, much more quickly, and it'll be something that's sustaining for a long, long time. One last thing here, Sean, how can people reach out, maybe get in touch with you if they have any questions or if they just want to reach out and maybe they do have some questions about something that we've talked about today or something that's kind of sparked in their brain a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Brokers can call me direct at the 727-466-4985. Pretty much here Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. If I'm not available, just leave a message with your number and I always call back as soon as possible.
Awesome. Well, Sean Niebuhr, marketer with AmeriLife Marketing Group. Sean, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. It's been great, sir. And I look forward to having you on again.
Yeah, appreciate your time, Matt. You have a fantastic week and let's rock and roll the rest of 2025.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, sir. Thank you. And thank you for listening and or watching this episode of AMG Academy. Really do appreciate it. I'm Matt McClure and we'll see you again next time for another edition of the show.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of AMG Academy. For more information on any of today's topics or to contact us, visit AmeriLifeMarketingGroup.com.